Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, March 30th, Pope Francis decries the appalling humanitarian catastrophe in Sudan. He calls for constructive dialogue to alleviate suffering of the beloved South Sudanese people, and the Missionaries of Mercy conclude their jubilee in the Vatican. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. The Holy See Press Office published Pope Francis's Angelus Address on Sunday, the 30th of March, for the fourth Sunday of Lent, as Jubilee celebrations continue in the Vatican. In the Holy Father's remarks, the Pope took his cue from today's Gospel reading, according to St. Luke, in order to urge all faithful to live this time of Lent as a time of healing. I am too, he said, experiencing it in this way in my soul and in my body. That is why, he continued, I give heartfelt thanks to all those who, in the image of the Savior, are instruments of healing for their neighbors, with their word and their knowledge, with kindness and with prayer. Frailty and illness are experiences we all have in common. All the more, however, he said, we are brothers in the salvation Christ has given us. The Pope went on to invite faithful to join him in praying for peace in war and conflict-stricken areas. In particular, he prayed for peace in war-torn Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Myanmar. In a special way, he again acknowledged Myanmar's suffering has greatly worsened due to Friday's devastating earthquake that struck the country's Mandalay region, killing more than 1,700 in the country, many others in Thailand, and leaving several hundred more missing. Pope Francis also said he continues to follow the situation in South Sudan with great concern. I renew, he said, my heartfelt appeal to all leaders to do their utmost to lower the tension in the country, adding, we must put aside the differences and, with courage and responsibility, sit around a table and engage in constructive dialogue. Only in this way, he continued, will it be possible to alleviate the suffering of the beloved South Sudanese people and to build a future of peace and stability. In addition, the Pope recalled how the war in Sudan continues to claim innocent victims. In this regard, he appealed, I urge the parties concerned in the conflict to put the safeguarding of lives of their civilian brothers and sisters first. And I hope that new negotiations will begin as soon as possible, capable of securing a lasting solution to the crisis. May the international community, he urged, increase its efforts to address the appalling humanitarian catastrophe. Yet the Pope expressed gratitude to God for positive events, citing specifically the ratification of the agreement of the demarcation of the border between Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, which he called an excellent diplomatic achievement. I encourage both countries, he said, to continue on this path. Pope Francis concluded his Sunday address by praying that Mary, Mother of God, help the human family be reconciled in peace. And to hear the latest coming from Sudan and South Sudan, the report of Nathan Morley.
Nicholas Haysom described the situation as being dire and urged President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar to prioritize the needs of their people over personal interests. South Sudan gained independence from Sudan in 2011 after years of conflict, but ethnic divisions plunged the country into civil war in 2013. A 2018 peace agreement established a unity government, but elections originally scheduled for 2023 have been postponed twice, first to 2024 and now to 2026. Meanwhile, in Sudan, the army recaptured the presidential palace in Khartoum, marking a significant victory against the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, the RSF, in the ongoing civil war there. Sudan's information minister, Khaled Al-Assia, confirmed the military's success, stating the flag was raised, the palace was back, and the journey continued until full victory was complete. Shortly after, state television aired footage of fighters celebrating in the palace. A drone strike killed three journalists, according to an army source cited by the AFP news agency. The conflict in Sudan has been described by the head of the UN Children's Agency as the world's largest humanitarian crisis. Tens of thousands have been killed, millions displaced, and famine has forced some families to eat grass to survive. The crisis stems from years of instability following the 2019 ousting of the long-time autocratic president Omar al-Bashir. A brief transition to democracy was derailed in 2021 by a military coup led by General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo. By 2023, tensions escalated into full-scale fighting between the Sudanese army and the RSF. Both sides have faced allegations of human rights abuses throughout the war. Before leaving office, the former US President Joe Biden's administration declared the RSF was committing genocide. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
On Sunday morning, Archbishop Rino Fisichella, the pro-prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization, celebrated the Jubilee Mass for the Missionaries of Mercy who were here for the Holy Year pilgrimage. Thaddeus Jones tells us more in this report.
In his homily at the Mass for the Jubilee of the Missionaries of Mercy, Archbishop Rino Fisichella, the pro-prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization, highlighted how the parable of the prodigal son who returns home was revealed by Jesus to allow each of us to discover how immense the love of God is. And we need to welcome that love within us to enter into the depth of that mystery when God offers the grace of reconciliation. In the parable narrated in St. Luke's Gospel, Archbishop Fisichella explained that Jesus could not speak of God in more human terms and with more meaningful traits in order to give voice to the love and mercy of the Father. He encouraged finding common traits between ourselves and both sons. Like the first son, sooner or later, we all ask for our inheritance. We want to be free, autonomous, to take control of our own existence, with the consequences of our failing then, because we end up far from God and his house, the church, and suffer as a result, he said. The second son, he pointed out, is very similar to all of us, as he reacts with anger and resentment to the return of his brother. And like him, for our years of faithful service, we risk confusing the gratuitousness of service and turning it into a weapon of rebellion against God. Archbishop Fisichella said that from the Father's response, "Son, you are always with me, and everything that is mine is yours," he observed that here emerges our sin, as we do not understand the value of closeness to God. And just as the Father rushes to meet the Son, he added that the priest should go to meet the penitent, seeing him from afar and his desire to return to the house of the Father. In the embrace of the son who's sinned, he suggested one understands how love forgets sin, and forgiveness forces us to look directly to the future, to live it worthily. I'm Dennis Jones.
As we just reported, missionaries of mercy from around the world are in Rome for their Jubilee Pilgrimage of Hope that concluded today. Close to 500 priests from across Asia, the Americas, Africa, and Europe gathered for what was also their fourth world meeting since Pope Francis instituted the Missionaries of Mercy with his 2015 Bull of Indiction for the extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy that took place from late 2015 to late 2016. The missionaries have been given the special authority to forgive sins reserved to the Apostolic See. They focus their ministry on administering the sacrament of reconciliation, preaching God's boundless mercy for all as part of a special outreach emphasizing compassion and hope. In an interview with Thaddeus Jones, U.S. Missionary of Mercy, Monsignor Theodore Bertagni expressed his happiness being back in Rome to celebrate the Jubilee of Hope, together with his brother, priests who share in the ministry, and Father Bernard Olszewski, also a missionary of mercy from the U.S., expressed his joy in celebrating mercy as it is tied together with hope, the theme of the Jubilee. Let's listen.
I think that one of the keys for me is the connection between the institution of the Missionaries of Mercy during the Jubilee Year of Mercy and now the ordinary Jubilee being a Jubilee of Hope. Without mercy, there is no hope. And so I see a direct connection between the faculties, the powers that the Pope has entrusted to missionaries of mercy to be able to bring hope into the lives of people who felt trapped by sin, who felt that they were alienated from the church. And in our role as missionaries of that mercy of God, to be able to provide that hope and look to a future which is filled with expectation rather than dread.
Monsignor Ted, how about yourself? At least in these years as a missionary of mercy, have you experienced the hope dimension in any unique way, which is also the theme of this Jubilee 2025?
Yes, I think not only in terms of the Sacrament of Reconciliation, which was the original impetus of Pope Francis's push for mercy, was that all of us came together and he brought 1,000 missionaries of mercy from all over the world to come together and share in that gift of mercy, which is experienced through reconciliation. And I think some of the strength of that, and part of what happens is when you are reconciled, you bring yourself back into the community. The community welcomes you back as the prodigal son. So you become part of that community. And one of the gifts of bringing all of the missionaries of mercy from all over the world back to Rome at this time is that you experience that together as a brotherhood, as a fraternity.
In terms of the Jubilee and this focus on mercy, how would you recommend that we live this particular Jubilee?
This is my third, I think, Jubilee. My first experienced in Rome in 1975. And I would say that in this experience, as a Jubilee of hope, it is probably the most meaningful in the sense of being exactly what the world needs. Not just we as a Catholic Church, but the world in general. I think that given all of the dynamics of world politics and all of the conflicts and divisions, to be able to stand before the Lord and proclaim that we are a people of hope despite what the world might show us, and that it is the way in which we are able to put our faith and our charity into action.
And now let's listen to Father Stephen Bevins, a missionary of the Divine Word and theologian, speaking to Vatican Radio's Joseph Tulloch about a conference of the 150th anniversary of the Society of the Divine Words, a conference that took place this week.
This is a conference that's celebrating 150 years of the foundation of the Society of the Divine Word, the SVDs. And the idea is to see what mission is about today and how we might be able to go forward. So the theme of the conference is the mission of God today, and we're looking at four aspects, and that is we're looking at healing the wounds of the world, we're looking at being challenged by postmodernity and how we present the gospel, particularly in a secularized world. We're looking at how we can learn from other cultures, and how we can be inspired by other religions. So these are the four aspects. And we're trying to see if we can go now into the future with some of these ideas and continue our evangelization work.
So there are many, obviously, interesting elements I could pick up on. Uh-huh. We don't have time to go through them all. Maybe sure. The one I pick up on is this idea of learning from other religions.
Well, you know, I think God works particularly with Christians, you know, because God is fully revealed in Jesus and so forth. But God's also working outside of the church, you know, outside the boundaries of the church.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to our sound engineer in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lumbov.